Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. It's always good to get together, we say. There is an outline. I hope you picked one up on your way in. I asked my brethren to look around and see if everyone has one. Please share. You can go get another, as Brother Rose is doing. Now, don't keep going out, Brother Rose. Come back in. If you'd like to have an outline to follow along with, you're very welcome to do so. 2 weeks ago, I came down with a cough and sore throat. So my first time back after 2 weeks. So appreciate Brother Rose filling in for me with the sermon. Brother Dennis taught the Bible class for me and led the singing, even Sunday night, led singing again and brought a lesson. So appreciate that very, very much. That's always encouraging. So, well, as you kind of know, I'm getting older. My voice is getting weaker. So if any time you can't hear me, just hold your hand up. Of course, that may not work either because my eyesight's going too. Took some medicine, told the Bible class this morning, took some medicine the doctor gave me medicine for my cough, and it says it make you drowsy. So if I snooze during this sermon, Jim said, that's okay because we snooze during your sermon anyway. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us. Who cares for my soul? Who cares? I put in your notes the lesson seeks to answer the statement made by David. In verse 4, he said, I looked on my right hand. There's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge failed me. No one cares for my soul. See, David says that when he is escaping the wrath of King Saul. And in running from King Saul, he's hiding in a cave and seemingly all by himself. So he prays. And David concludes that nobody knows what he's going through. He says, I'm all alone. Friends have forsaken me. There's nowhere to turn. No one cares for my soul. So we look at that text or just that phrase where David said, nobody cares about me in so many words. You know, there's times in your life and mine when we feel the same way, perhaps. But we're going through some troubles. We're going through some trials. I feel I'm all alone in this. I look to my right and no one's there. I look to my left, don't see anybody there either. I just think that there's no one to help me. Nobody cares about the situation I'm in. We just want to hide in a corner, you know, pull the covers over, just cry to ourselves. Nobody cares. So we want to know what's the answer to that statement. So I put in your notes, I think seven things. Number one, we're going to look at God cares. That should be an obvious one. Number two, Jesus cares. Number three, the Holy Spirit cares. Number four, angels care. Number five, brethren or the church cares. Number six, Jesus tells a story about souls in torment who care about your soul. So then the last one, hopefully we conclude that you care for your soul. You care. You can add to this list. I know parents care for children. Friends care for friends. So the list could go on, but we're going to just look at these rather briefly in our lesson this morning. Number one, it's an obvious one, isn't it, that God cares? John 3:16, God so loved. Well, there it is right there. God, do you care? Brian, I so love you. I so love. That he gave his only begotten son, God, how much do you care? I'm going to give my son for you. And whosoever believes in him should not perish. I don't want to perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I want salvation. God cares. God cares demonstrated in the plan he formulated for our salvation. And he did that before the world began. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul begins that chapter by saying, blessed be the God and Father. All right, why would I want to bless God? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God, do you care? Yeah. I'm going to give you every spiritual blessing through my son. Yeah, I care. And then the author, Paul, continues. He says, I'm going to list some of those blessings you have to illustrate the care that God has for you. In verse 4, these are in Ephesians chapter 1, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 7, in him, meaning being in Christ Jesus, being a Christian, being a child of God, God gives us favors. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You think God doesn't care? In verse 11, in him we've also obtained an inheritance. In verse 13 and 14, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. You think God doesn't care? Yeah. There can be no doubt about it. In 1 John 4, verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. You say, in this, God's care for us was demonstrated, manifested. That God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might have life through him. God, do you care? Yeah. Yeah, God cares. Number two is Jesus cares. Jesus cares. His purpose in coming into the world. He was introduced by the angels to Mary and Joseph. And in Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, and she, meaning Mary, will bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus. Why? He's going to save his people from their sins. Think Jesus doesn't care? He's going to give his life for you and for me. Jesus live the kind of life that demonstrates his love toward us. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he says, for to this were you called. Why would I want to become a Christian? Why do I want to be on God's side? Does God care? Does Jesus care? He says, he suffered for us. Well, thank you. Leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now he cares. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, I'm going to just read these verses just to illustrate this point. He says, for we have a high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So because of that, he says, let's hold fast our confidence. Because we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Think he doesn't care? Now sympathize with you. And was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Oh, he cares. He cares. There's a hymn in our book. And it mentions, answers that statement. Does anybody care? And the title of the song is, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. The author begins, I'd love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Second stanza. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me. And he led me in the way that I ought to go. Third stanza. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. I'll never know just why he came to save me. till someday I see his blessed face above. Then the chorus, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. You think he doesn't care? Oh, yes. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, he asked us to remember what his death would accomplish. And in Matthew 26, verse 26, Jesus took bread. He blessed, broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, that's us, for the remission of sins. Thank you. You think he doesn't care? I shed my blood for everybody, for remission of sins. In his death, burial, and resurrection before he ascended back to heaven, Jesus, do you have any last words for the disciples or for us? And before he was crucified, he's in the upper room, and in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Do you care? Yeah, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Yeah, my hand goes up. Believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Continued and told him, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again and receive you to myself. Do you care, Jesus? Yeah, sure do. Gave my life for you. Now I'm going to come back and receive you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So we know, does anybody care? Yes, let's start with God cares. Jesus cares. The Holy Spirit cares. You see, when you and I were baptized, God gave to you and me the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verse 38, the familiar verse, when the audience was convinced of Peter's sermon that they crucified the Christ, they were convinced that they'd murdered the Messiah. What shall we do? And so they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered and said unto them, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, by heaven's authority. And you'll receive for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He testified and exhorted them with many other words, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those that gladly received his word were baptized. You think the Holy Spirit doesn't care? Paul writes and affirms this twice in the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You didn't know that? You think the Holy Spirit doesn't care? Continues in chapter 6, verse 19. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The Spirit wants us to live a godly life. He wants us to bear spiritual fruit. Yeah, he cares. He cares. This is the direction I want you to go. Yeah. Who cares? God does. Jesus does. And his Spirit does. Cares. Number four, I put the angels care. Angels had a part in delivering God's soul-saving message to the Old Testament prophets. So the angels care. They say, I want to deliver to the prophets and prophets, you preach what I've delivered to you. It's a soul-saving message. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, Hebrew writer says, therefore, let's give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. Uh-oh, that's not good. But let's heed the things that we hear in the Bible. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, yeah, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The angels delivered a soul-saving message to those Old Testament people. And so the Hebrew writer draws from that and says, how shall we escape? How shall we if we neglect so great a salvation? Referring to the angels, the writer also said in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 1, are not they all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Yeah. You think God doesn't care about you and me? Has his angels as ministering spirits to influence us in our life? Angels rejoice when the lost are found. Angels rejoice when sinners repent. In Luke 15, verse 10, Jesus said, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. You realize that heaven cares. And when one lives correctly, they rejoice. You and I have the ability to cause heaven to rejoice by living correctly, by living right. Oh, that heaven cares. Heaven cares. Number five, I put brethren in the church. They care about your soul. In Galatians 6, verse 1, Paul admonished one another. That's us who are sitting here. Brethren, if one of us is overtaken in a trespass, well, that's not good. He says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Yeah, we care. We care for your soul. If you're not living right, I want to reach out and say, don't do that. Care. I want a restoration, restore, come back and restore such a one, a spirit of gentleness. And he said, then bear one another's burdens. Now we care. We care. In Acts 14, verse 22, Paul and Silas, they're going on their missionary journeys, establishing churches. Said, when they preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. I think Paul and Silas and brethren didn't care. I'm going to come back, he said. Yeah, we established the church there and I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back and I want to strengthen you because I care. Next phrase, exhorted them to continue in the faith. I think brethren don't care. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore, comfort each other. Yeah, we care. We care. Don't go hide in a cave. Don't go sit in the corner and pull the covers over. Brethren, care. Don't consider think that, oh, I'm all alone, nobody cares. Brethren, care. I just need to know what's going on. He said, edify one another just as you're so doing. In chapter 5, verse 14, we exhort you, brethren, comfort the faint-hearted. I care. Uphold the weak. Yeah. Be patient with all. Oh, brethren, care. So when you look at your list and thinking at the start like David, because they're running from the wrath of King Saul, I'm all alone in this cave, and he has to pray out to God. Nobody cares. I'm looking around. Oh, but God cares. Jesus cares. Holy Spirit cares. Angels care. We care. And number six, I put souls already in torment care for your soul. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 16 about two men. They each live different lives, so they go to different, or have different results. One goes to paradise and the other goes to torment. It says, so it was in Luke chapter 16, beginning of verse 22. So it was the beggar died. He was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember. I always liked when the Bible says remember. Oh, let's go back and think for a moment. That remember that in your lifetime you received good things, Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and you're tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said in verse 27, a soul in torment. You think he cares for others? He said, I beg you, therefore, Abraham, that you would send him, or Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. All souls in torment now care for those they left behind. Don't want them to come here. Souls in torment care for your souls. Don't come here. Abraham said, oh, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, no, he begins to argue. Oh, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. Well, Abraham said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Who cares for my soul? Who cares? Look around. God cares, doesn't he? Jesus cares. Holy Spirit cares. Angels care. Brethren care. Souls in torment care. So now the question becomes, do you care? Do you care for your soul? Is it well with your soul? Jesus asked the question in Mark 8, verse 36, what is it going to profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Good question. Do you care for your soul? What if you gained the whole world? Wow. See on the news all these rich people. Wow. But only one can be the wealthiest. One man had that 3-day wedding weekend. Wow. Do you care for your soul? What if you gained the whole world? More wealthy than anybody else. And you lose your soul. We hear preachers and Bible class teachers and parents say all the time, if you died this afternoon, would you go to heaven? You died this afternoon. Do you care? The prophet and the preacher Amos told his congregation in the Old Testament, in Amos 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God. Prepare. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, now is the day of salvation. Now. In Hebrews 3, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might, for there's no work and no device and no knowledge and no wisdom in the grave where you're going. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Can't change anything after you die. Do you care? When Jesus comes again, he's not going to be coming singing an invitation song. Not going to come singing six stanzas of Just As I Am. He's not going to come preach a 30-minute sermon on the importance of baptism. No. It's appointed unto man once to die. Do you care? After that, the judgment. Another song in our book, and I'll close. It's hymn number 489. And it asks the question, is it well with your soul? There's another song that says, it is well. This one takes the opposite and asks the question, is it well with your soul? It says, mid the toil and strife of this busy life, is it well with your soul? Are you living right should you die tonight? Is it well with your soul? Second stanza. Have you lost your sin? Are you pure within? Is it well with your soul? Are you at the side of the crucified? Is it well with your soul? The third stanza. Do you praise the love of the one above? Is it well with your soul? Will the crown be won and the Lord's well done? Is it well with your soul? Then the chorus asks the question again. Is it well? Is it well with your soul? Are you free, glad, and whole? Are you living right should you die tonight? Is it well with your soul? So we sing a song of encouragement. Song of invitation. And we ask him the question, is it well with your soul? If it's not, you have that opportunity to make it right. You have an opportunity to be on God's side, to let others know to whom you belong. You have an opportunity to obey the good news gospel message that Jesus commissioned at his last words. What do you have to say before you ascend into heaven? In Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. So again, we ask the question for your thoughts and your meditation, your consideration. Is it well with your soul? Let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. We use it and we call it a song of invitation, exhortation, encouragement. So while we're singing this song, you consider your relationship with God. If you want to obey that good news gospel message, if that's your desire, just let it be known at the close of this song.